Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello, you do sound a little raspy. You're talking yeah. Before you're like, yeah, I got a cold, and you kicked it in. It sounds nice,
extra raspy. All right, Devin, what do you got for us tonight?
My art requires me to go down the road where the human beings are, in the landscape, which to me is overpowered by their presence.
Ooh, I like that.
One more time. My art requires me to go down the road where the human beings are, in the landscape, which to me is overpowered by their presence. I think, now I was reading that, and yeah. The context before it, it talks about, few of Remington's paintings show the human figure secondary to the landscape.
Okay.
So he is focused on the humans of the painting.
Yeah, the human interaction with the landscape.
Even though the landscape is a part of the story.
Right.
And the spark in the adventure that the people have is where the people are in, you know, where you decide to plop them down.
Right. Yeah.
I love the idea that he, we were talking about this book 2 weeks ago, and I was reading more of it, yeah. And hearing him, you know, go out and do these trips, and it's really, it's like towards the end of, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
You know, late 1800s, it's really, everything was winding down, but you could still go out, but you had to go out and be, as he says, where the human beings are.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the allure to him was, you know, the culture of the cowboys and Indians, you know, that whole thing. And it was in a beautiful landscape, but it wasn't because of the landscape that he was there. It's because of the interaction of the humans to the landscape.
And I haven't read the whole book yet, but some of the bits, it is a slog for him at times. Because it's not, you know, if you're really trying to get to the places that were rough and tumble, it's just rough and tumble.
Yeah, right.
It's like not comfy.
Yeah.
You can't be in your studio. And then apparently he used like some photography or really early photography to capture certain things that, like a horse running full speed, to capture that is a tricky thing. And imagine seeing that for the first time, like a frozen image.
Yeah,
of a horse galloping, and you really get a good feel of like how to paint it.
Yeah, was that like Muybridge was the photographer that did all the like men running and jumping and horses running and stuff?
Right. Yeah. The super high speed cameras.
Well, that kind of reminds me of you said, like, you know, if you want to get out to that place, you had to like get out there. You know, if you want to be out in the remote places and painting, you're gonna go in a remote area. It's gonna take a slog to get out there. Years ago, Nicole and I went on a road trip through New England. This was, I think, after our junior year of college. And I wanted to, like, we took the road trip so I could paint, you know, do a bunch of landscape paintings. And we went and we hiked up to the top of Mount Monadnock, which is in the southern end of New Hampshire. And I wanted to do a drawing, a pastel drawing that was like the mountains rolling into the distance. And like the only way to do that was to hike to the top of the mountain. So we like, we went like the straightest path, which was probably like a mile and a half, but it was like straight up. It was just like all rock climb the whole way. We could have taken the like 3.5 or 4 mile, you know, like longer trek around the other side of the mountain. But we were like, well, we just want to go like get to the top. So we were like hiking up, and you know, there's all these like false summits, you know, you can like, oh, there's the top, and you get there, and then you look, and there's like more and more. So eventually we like got to the point where I think we were like one false summit away from the actual summit, and I'm like, that's far enough. I just turned around, sat down, I'm like, I'm done. And I just like sat there, but it was like a slog to get up there, but I had this gorgeous view and did a, you know, a pastel that I love, you know, and it like stuck in my mind, but just like, you know, had to get there to do it.
That's a it's a better name for a painting anyway, the false summit.
Yeah, right.
It's more interesting than tippy top.
Yeah, the tippy top.
But yeah, so yeah, just I've been thinking of Western stuff since
we can
talk about Texas a little bit.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Speaking of cowboys, I'll just jump to the end of the trip. We didn't really have time to go to stores and stuff.
Right.
I was thinking, what do I get the kids? Texas, and it's like I was thinking I'd just end up getting them a little toy or something, but I was like, it'd be cool if I could get them cowboy hats, right? But if you just go to like an Austin hat store,
right,
you know, you're gonna get like real hats. I don't want real hats.
Yeah, you're right.
Kids, yeah. I need little kid hats that aren't $300 each. So we didn't get to go anywhere, and then I was like, you know, there's talking to the rest of the people, you know, who were with us, who flew in. I was like, they're like, yeah, there's some shops. And I was like, yeah, I think I saw something on the way. And, you know, they're very, you know, it's Texas. So you have all the Texas things, just like if you go into Maryland. But
yeah, right.
You know, there's even the more options for Texas.
Right.
And just as I was looking around for a store, I turned and there was a little booth, and on the wall were a bunch of cowboy hats.
Nice.
And bandanas attached to the hats, you know. They had like little pictures on them, like of Texas and of a cowboy on a horse, and like, I was like, oh, perfect. They were cheap. They're like $20 each. I was like, yes. Grabbed them up, one for each, and then it was all good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Got myself a magnet, and for the wife, I got her some spices and taco mix and like some, just, you know, what do you get? Yeah, other than, I'm not going to get her a longhorn like necklace.
Yeah, right. Nice. That's awesome.
But so they love them. They've been carrying them around. They've been trying to wear them every day now. So
that's so cute.
Yeah.
Little cow pokes.
And it just so it happened to hit at the same time she was watching the Toy Story movies too.
Oh, nice.
So she's all like in like Woody and you know, the girl name is, I forget her name.
What is it? Not Daisy. What is it? I can't remember. But yeah.
I think it's a good picture. This is actually one I might post, or not post, I might have like print out. Isn't it great?
That's hilarious. They're both
like
that's
looking
great
at the camera.
Oh, that's awesome. Look at those hats. Oh, so fun. Cute. Oh, man.
Of course, that's I had to get the boy the black hat.
Black one.
And maybe if there was a pink or that one, I was like, I don't want to do pink.
Nah,
that's you gotta good. Get them like the actual cowboy colors, you know.
Yeah, nice. That's awesome. That's fun. It's funny, I never like, you know, I don't think about souvenir stuff, and when Corinne was younger I did. I just can't remember, like, I didn't often go places without her, you know, or without
That's the same, but I do remember like mom and dad doing trips.
Yeah.
You know, they did them very few.
Uh-huh.
And when people did, I remember being very excited when I got something, no matter what it was. It seemed so exotic.
Yeah.
You know, Aunt Jill used to bring us stuff back.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mom and Dad too. Yeah. It's like they would go on like a weekend camp trip with our friends or something, you know, and bring us back like frisbees from Gifford Pinchot or something, you know.
It was always something.
Like, cool.
It was exciting.
Yeah, it was.
So, I mean, you do go, and by the time you're done, it's like, look, I spent all this money on all this other crap.
I know.
I can, the last second, I can spend $40 on the kids, you know?
That's awesome.
But yeah, nice. So you want me to go into that?
Yeah. So yeah, tell us about it, because I mean, you said Texas, but if people aren't following along with your Instagram, then they won't know that. Why were you in Texas?
Barely.
Even our family, Drew was like, "Why was Devin in Texas?"
I mean, it's something like, how do you bring it up? You don't.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna send out a group text.
Hey guys, I'm going to Texas, somewhere. Just so you know. Yeah.
And then I realized I haven't flown anywhere since my honeymoon.
Oh man.
So it's been 7 years, 8 years. We just had our anniversary.
Okay.
But anyway, so I went with...
yeah, I guess maybe we talked to... I can't remember. Did we talk about it on the podcast? Maybe
I don't
we
know. It's the Texas Woodworker Woodworking Festival thing.
Right.
Which is a convention hall with, you know, people, all the companies showing their stuff off.
Right.
Like any other convention. And then they did have classes upstairs.
Okay.
Woodworking classes from people might know.
Right.
And it was funny, just right off the bat, I may have brought this up. I was like, okay, the only Texas maker we know of, is Andy Rawls.
Andy, yeah, right.
Because we had him on the podcast, and he likes our stuff, and we like his stuff.
Really early on.
Yeah. And then, so I went and saw him and actually said hello.
No, nice.
And he was like, I didn't know you guys were here. He's talking about, you know, both of us kind of go, hey, man, it's Devin from the Autocrats right away. He's like, oh, you and your brother are here? And like, you know,
that's cool.
You didn't send me a message. And I was like, no, it's, you know, it's just me. And just talked to him for a minute, but it was nice to.
That's cool.
It was him and his wife and just said hello, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, right on. Yeah, that was like, you know, we've talked about this before, but when we started the podcast, it was like, you know, what other chance do you have to just get like to talk to people for an hour and a half or so? And, you know, uninterrupted, we're not like, you know, at Maker Camp, we talk to a lot of people and we do get, you know, chunks of time, but there's other stuff going on, you know, this is just like a, you know, it's like you don't really have that opportunity anymore unless you just sit down like at a dinner with somebody, you know. Right. But it's great. And like when else would we have ever been able to have like a, you know, conversation with Andy or with, you know, Clay Hayes or, you know, people whoever all over Daniel, you know, Donnelly from, you know, he's on the West Coast, you know, it's like all sorts of people. That's great, you know.
And you know, not having you at one of those things, I didn't know who anyone was. But so I'll start from the beginning. So it was with Scott Wiener from the Crafty Studio, which I've been shooting with lately. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He asked if I wanted to go and, you know, we'll shoot a video and do this stuff and come help out. But he was going specifically to help out Stone Coat.
Right.
Epoxy, which is launching Stone Coat woodworking epoxies.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Because it seems that, you know, you got like the big companies, and no one says outright on their labels like what it's for, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's like Total Boat, and it's like to just go right to the source and go, hey, it's woodworking epoxy, right, and even though it's all, you can use it for whatever, but to just brand it as that, I think is smart. But anyway, so he went because that's what he's been using for a long time, and all these big resin pours that we've been doing, he's been kind of partnered with Stone Coat, and anyway, they were launching that for the first time, and that was like their big coming out party.
Nice.
Was to get a booth there and to start spreading the word about their new line of stuff. So we kind of hung out with them most of the time.
Right.
And was focused on Scott going and working with them and being like, he was in the booth.
Yeah.
Like talking about it.
That's cool.
Sharing stuff with people. And then, so it was half that, just hanging around with Stone Coat people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And half a little vloggy. Like, you know, we got there and went to like a brewery with a food truck. And then went to barbecue one night and did a couple things, you know, where it was like, you know, I want to record this too because this is like the style that we're going for anyway.
Yeah, right.
So in the video, there'll be like half and half. So
nice. That's great. Yeah, because it's like you said, it's the journey. You know, it's like we're going to this other place. Let's you know, catch the journey. That's cool.
And nice. but the festival is cool. I mean, like, You know, I don't know. If you're a woodworker, I think it was relatively cheap if you just wanted to go for a day.
Right, yeah.
It's like 30 or 40 bucks.
Oh, nice, yeah.
So if you were in the area and you wanted to, like, go see some people you knew of and, like, right. learn about some new tools and things, and, you know, there was a lot of CNC 3D machines, those type of things. They're popping right. up everywhere, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all trying to do the easiest version of it. Shaper was there, of course.
Nice.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
And now, which I didn't realize last time, they have like an autopilot on Shaper now.
Oh, so really?
You can let it go.
Dang.
Keep moving.
You don't have to hold it anymore. You just put it down.
No. Jeez. Apparently, if you have the autopilot one.
That's awesome. little wheels on it.
Yeah, but yeah, it was that and just companies yeah. selling their stuff.
Nice, yeah. So it was like stuff you could buy stuff too, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like yeah, so, but yeah,
they're obviously they're showing their new cool stuff, but also yeah, stuff to sell.
There was like yeah, a lot of waxes and tools
yeah,
and,
right,
and things
right.
you could try and companies like different vac companies and
right
and all types. A few like standalone woodworker guys who just had their stuff there.
Right, yeah.
But
what was you know, so Andy, was he there like was he just there as himself or was he there representing somebody?
No,
or?
He was just there doing a class.
Oh, right on. Nice.
So yeah. he did a class on joinery.
Cool. Nice.
It was actually that's the one I went up to see. Yeah. I was like, well, I need B roll of these classes anyway.
Nice.
So the one I want to go yeah. sit in on and I watched like half of his and
nice. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I actually just watched his most recent video where he was building a round or like a donut shape bench that was designed to go around a concrete column in a person's house. And the whole video was like him building it, but then the end was him like making a mistake. Like he got the measurements wrong. So when he went to the person's house to install it, like he made some mistakes throughout, just normal like woodworking mistakes, you know, but then he measured wrong or got the measurements wrong and went to the person's house and went to install it. And the woman was like, this is not right. Like, it's not the right size, you know, whatever. And he thought that, like, he at first thought, like, she was wrong or that not she was wrong, but it was, like, some miscommunication. But then, like, he found the mistake in his, you know, on his end. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, responded back to her. And, like, he's obviously making it right. But, it, the video ended there. Like, he didn't show the final install or the final piece. He just, it was, like, the whole point was, like, you know, sometimes we make mistakes and right. that's like it, you know, it's tough for a small business to make mistakes. Cause then you're like putting more time and effort into something, which is, you know, coming out of your own pocket, but
right.
it is what it is. The reality of it. You know? But that was cool. And I think you mentioned something about the Texas show in that video. Cause I was like, yeah. Oh yeah, cool. I guess I'll be there. Yeah.
It was, yeah. And the first, one of the things he started out with was, he was like, this is a, here's an image of my daughter's dresser. And it was like, you know, a shitty,
yeah,
like, I mean, looks nice, but, you know, Wayfair or IKEA right. style thing.
Yeah.
It looks nice, but you could see, you know, the drawers in the middle were bent in and something had cracked in the center. Uh-huh. And he would just like went into detail about what had gone wrong and why it's, you know, this yeah. would never last no matter what.
Right.
And if we're doing it right, it would last. And then he kind of showed, then he compared it to his, one of the ones he had done and. Mm-hmm. Where the joints have to be the strongest.
Yeah.
And more nice. Traditional joinery will last, you know, a long time. And he brought up a nice point that the way they used to do it was rough compared to the way they do it now with machinery and getting everything, you know.
Right.
Super tight, yeah, super perfect.
Yeah, right, right.
He's like, they would rough these things in because this was the way to make it. And there's looseness there, but they're all still around.
Right, yeah.
Even the rough versions of what they were making are still.
Yeah, because the joinery was like sound. Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyway, it was entertaining. Like, I wasn't sure how entertained I'd be, even knowing him and being like, well, like, what's it going to be? But he really made it good.
Nice. That's awesome. That's cool.
So, yeah, did that and yeah, just walked around and, you know, met a lot of people and shared stuff. I got a t-shirt for you.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Yeah, I got your Stone Coat t-shirt.
Sweet. Perfect. Love it. I love to represent people people my friends like.
Yeah, so, I mean, we know the reps and owners now, so we got to start being Stone Coat people. See, we'll send you over some of those new woodworking resins.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Heck yeah. Nice.
But yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
that's going to be in one of the vlog videos for Scott. Nice.
It's probably not going to be next Tuesday, but maybe it'll be the one after.
Nice.
So I don't think I have time to edit that all together with everything else going on and Orioles and Ravens and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it was good, and it was really interesting to hear business people talk about why and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It was just something, you know, we're just kind of hanging around with, like, individual makers.
Right.
So to be, like, in a booth with people talking about doing business.
Right,
you know, they're all there to spread their business and be seen and, it's interesting to hear them discuss things.
Yeah.
I'll keep all that to myself, but it was just, it's just interesting to hear that side of it.
Different perspective. Yeah.
Right. Like how they're trying to do things and what they're doing and, how they're doing it compared to other people. And it's different, but it's interesting.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. And that's a tough, I mean, just as far as they're concerned, you know, like Total Boat has such a strong hold on the maker market, you know, because of like what they've done, because they were like the first one to the game, you know, and like sent stuff out to everybody, you know, like tons and tons of people just gave so much product away. So everyone uses that stuff. So to like break into that, you know, that niche of like makers using epoxies, you know, it's like, that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
Yeah. They definitely, you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes of all that stuff, but it's, you know, mainly just, obviously there's not, it's a thing that can be made by many people.
Right. Yeah.
It's just a resin. It's an epoxy.
Right.
So whether it's got this name or that name, it's just how you're going to do it.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, it's, I'm a Stone Coat person now. I'll never use any of it, but now I know those guys. So I like them. They're cool guys.
Right. Exactly.
They're like a good crew. So I'm like, all right, I'll wear your guy's shirt when I can.
Where it's a bigger camp, everyone's like, what the heck? Total One people are like, what's going on? Yeah, because they're always there.
That would be fun to rile them up a little bit.
Yeah, right. What is this? What type of shoddy work is going on over here?
Like, I don't know. Why don't you send us some free stuff?
Yeah, right. No, they did actually. They reached out to us and they were like, yeah, whatever you want, we'll send it to you. And they were like, oh, what are you? How about you send us money to sponsor a video?
Right.
Like, well, we could send you product. Like, okay. They did reach out at one point. And I was like, okay. It's funny because I think they reached out through email and I responded that I did really like their product and I actually bought it, you know, like before I realized it was I'd kind of started seeing it around in the maker community. And then like when we got our boat, we got Gun, I had to redo a bunch of the fiberglass on the bottom. And so I was going to reach out, I was going to get stuff from West Marine, but then I got it from Total Boat instead. Cause I'd heard about Total Boat like through the maker community. And I was like, yeah, I really like your product. It worked really well on my boat. You know?
half the battle was getting into people's hands that other people see and they just get, oh, that's a thing for that.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
But, Stone Coat, they're good guys.
Nice.
I liked hanging out with them and talking stuff. And we'll see the future of that. Hopefully Scott keeps working with them because that'd be fun.
Yeah, nice.
They're a good crew.
Yeah, I mean, he's been with them for a while, right? I mean, at least a couple of years he's been using their stuff, so.
Yeah, and then, we'll see, there's, Yeah, they do live classes in Texas and some other places. I think they're trying to start up with that type of stuff. And yeah, it's.
Do you know how Scott like fell in with him? Like, how did he find out about him?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe one of his charity builds, and he needed some epoxy,
right?
You know, and maybe reached out to a couple companies, and they helped him out, and now he used their stuff, you know, solely and
a lot
of it, you know.
so much
of it to pour those giant bar tops and and things, and so
nice, cool. Yeah, I kind of had that thought when we went and visited him at the factory, you know, and he was like talking about Stone Coat, and it just like kind of like briefly crossed my mind. I was like, oh, I wonder how he like found that as opposed to like Total Boat or whatever, you know, like, which is so prevalent in the maker community. So,
yeah,
I just assumed like they had reached out to him at one point and were like, hey, you know, we want to work with you, whatever, we could send you some product. And he's
funny
like,
right, enough. Cool. I didn't ask him. I was just kind of taking it all in.
Yeah.
Because also I don't really have an opinion on much of that stuff other than who I meet.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know which one's better for which reasons. I'm just here to film stuff and, you know, and I'm not going to film certain things, like business talk.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But I will, I don't know, other than, you know, just liking the people.
Yeah,
that's all. I mean, I'm there for. Like, oh, you guys are nice.
Yeah,
cool.
I mean, that's half the battle, right? It's just like winning the customers and like customer service and being good people. You know, why not support them? You know, the people.
And they were
on
that. What's that Restore show that a bunch of people we know were on? What's it?
I don't know. Like, I mean, you're talking about the one where like the what's her name was on with the Railroad House. That show?
No, one that
Kate and Sean were Tiny House Nation.
No, it was another Restore show.
I don't know.
But a couple of the guys from Total Boat were on that. I had no idea. But again, that always helps me.
Stone Coat,
I'm sorry, the Stone Coat guys were on that.
Right.
For a while, apparently.
Oh, cool.
So they were on a couple channels. I don't know if they were on the Outdoor channel or something.
Right.
But that, like I said, that stuff always helps me that I don't recognize. You know, I'm not, like, wowed by anyone.
Right, right.
It's just dudes that walk, hey, how you doing? Like, and then I, you know, need help carrying stuff in. That's all, like, you know.
Right, exactly.
I'm
going to
be around shooting and asking some questions, so.
Yeah. I think that, like, I don't know, like, it's a little, kind of a nice reprieve if people that have more, you know, social clout or whatever, meet someone that doesn't know them for that reason. You know? They're just like, oh, these are good guys. You know, like, oh, you know, it's like, okay, that's just a normal person. Like, it's just like another day, you know, it's like, I'm sure when a celebrity meets someone who doesn't know them and they're just like having a normal conversation or whatever, it's like, oh, this is kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know, to be that way.
And it's just a good way to start some type of relationship. It's not.
Right. Yeah. You have no preconceived.
And you don't know anything about me, so I'm not gonna.
Right.
I'm not gonna act weird or fake or.
Right.
Pretend I don't know you when I do. Like.
Yeah.
I just don't know you.
I just
I don't know what most of you guys have done.
Any of the woodworkers. Yeah, right. Which is funny because, like you said, you know, Maker Camp, like the first year, it's like, I mean, you knew some of the big names, obviously, like Jimmy DiResta and stuff, but, you know, it was like still pretty early on. So there were tons of people that were, you were just like, oh, okay. I'm like, there's that person, that person, that person. I'm like, you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's fine.
Right.
Nice. Well, I've been, these last 2 weeks, I've had a few things happen, which has been kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. So about a week and a half ago, Nicole texted me in the morning. I was at work and she said, did you try to go into our bank account? And I was like, no, I haven't like tried to log in or anything. She's like, okay. And then a few minutes later, she texted me back. She said that our account, what'd she say? Oh, she said she had got a fraud alert from the Truist text saying that there were some, you know, some fraud things and that they were asking her. And so she called the number from the, how did she call? Someone, no, she got the text alert that it was like, there was a fraud. And so this was like from Truist, right? Cause it came from the Truist text. And it was on the same text chain as like every other, you know, whenever we get anything from Truist, that's like, you know, stuff about if we're changing thing in the bank account, it gives us a notification. And so she like, and then shortly after she got the fraud alert, she got a call and it was like from like a, it said like Truist something, you know, it was like a number. So she called and she answered the phone. And so she was talking to this person from Truist. And they're like, yeah, we see that there's like this fraud alert, you know, we want to call and check, make, you know, to, because, and tell you what we see on our end and da, 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 da. So they're going through all this thing. They're like, yeah, we see this, like they tried to, do a, what was it? I forget what it was. It was some like, transfer of funds, like a PayPal transfer or something. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was, but it was like a $2,000 transfer. And then, or maybe it was like an Etsy transfer or something. And then like a $3,000 transfer they tried to do. And they're like, we see that, you know, we see like, we put like a block on those and da, 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 da. And then they're like, well, you know, we can help you, go in and, fix this stuff. So like, here, we'll send you a text. And then from that text, you know, you read me the code and then I'll put it in and we'll do these changes and make sure that, you know, everything is good or whatever. Yeah. So Nicole's like, fine. So she's like talking to him. She's giving them the, like the codes and then she's getting the text from Truist line, whatever. And then the person was like, he talked to her for a while and then was like, okay, you know, you should go to a bank like in person and then you can like, go and like, I guess I don't know exactly what they were saying, but you know, you should go to a bank and figure the rest of the stuff out in person, you know, with a bank teller. And they're like, okay. And so Nicole's like, okay, yeah, well, I'll go, you know, like whatever, as soon as possible. She said, you know, whatever, like 12:30 or my lunchtime or whatever. So she called me or she texted me and said, and she's like, I gotta come because I dropped her off at work and I went to my work, which is only like 5 minutes away. You know, 3 or 5 minutes away in a drive, maybe about a 10-minute walk. So she's like, I'm gonna have to walk over, I'm gonna pick up the car and I'm gonna go to the bank because this like these fraud things went through and I need to go and figure it out. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. It's fine. So so then in the afternoon after work, she picked me up and then she told me a story that like she went to the bank. When she got to the bank, she started talking to the teller there and went right when she was there, she got the call back from the same person from Truist that talked to her the first time. And she was like, hello, yeah, this is Nicole. And he was like, okay, you know, like and he was like, did you go to the bank? She's like, yeah, I'm at the bank now. I'm here with the teller. And then like the line just went blank.
Mm.
And so she's like, hello, hello. And like nothing, like no. And she, the guy had said like his name. And so then like Nicole realized at that point, like when talking to the bank teller that like, the person she was talking to was the fraud person. Right. Like, so somehow, I don't know exactly how, but somehow they had hacked into our account, got in, and then like they were in our account and called Nicole and were like basically making changes in our account. And she was giving them the codes to be able to do it. So like when they would make a change, Truist would text us because it was in the account saying like, hey, is this what you want to do? And here's the code if you want to do it, you know? And so she was like doing that. It's like just crazy. It's like, And it was weird too, because the guy was like saying all the right stuff. Like, I'm going to try to help this. I'm going to block these. I'm going to, you know, shut this down so it can't go through. And also like he said, like, go to the bank, you know, like all this stuff, I guess, to build like a weird trust and then, you know, like have more time to, you know, make whatever. Although it's funny because like actually Truist, like the fraud team at Truist saw it and locked the account before like they could really do much, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think the person was in the account trying to make changes, but the fraud system was trying to block it. And so he's like working with Nicole to trying to get past, you know, it's like crazy, crazy. So they had to basically, when Nicole got there, they like checked the system and there was nobody by the name that the guy gave her and all the stuff and, you know, in any Truist system. So they figured it out, but
yeah, you're definitely not supposed to give anyone your passwords and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. It was like when they texted the code, it's like these 6 digits, you know, and it's like, don't tell anyone this code, you know, like, but yeah. And that's the thing too. That's the bank teller. I was like, it says right on there. And she's like, I know. I get it. You know, I understand, but like, I didn't have any, it's like everything he was saying was, reasonable. It wasn't like, oh yeah, we're going to transfer this money into a new account and give me the code so I can do it. You know, it wasn't any of that. It was just like, so she was saying it was all this stuff like, you know, I want to put these blocks in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, and so
I'll say I just had some stuff with the bank recently and something else happened. Which I won't bring up on here, but it was
right.
I don't even talk to people anymore because I don't like. Yeah. I don't even take calls from someone mm-hmm. who says there's something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless I see something happen, but then I will. Yeah, it's like you have to. A lot of the times, I just go through their customer service texting right. on the yeah. apps.
Mm-hmm.
If someone hacks the actual app,
right,
then it's a bigger thing.
Yeah,
but it's like I will give limited information constantly until you know I'm forced yeah. to do something. But yeah, I know it's I almost got tricked by something because it did. You know, it's that point to where something does look normal.
Yeah,
I forget yep. what it was. It was like, hey, you gotta do this to redo your account or whatever, and it looked mm-hmm. normal. And I like clicked on the link, and that's all I did.
Yeah,
but sometimes that can be enough.
Yeah.
Just yeah. Like so that's starting was, to fill your information out in a link and going like,
right.
Wait, this doesn't seem right. And then sometimes it's too late.
Right. Yeah. So it came up because, yeah, you had sent me the message like, hey, is our like cast account, you know, like
yeah, I saw that.
Not paid for or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah. It's because, yeah, because I'm like still updating stuff, you know, mm. and I don't have a card yet because we had to go that day and like I had to go back in and like in person sign so we could start a new joint account because we had to switch everything over to all new accounts and like. So all of like my direct deposits and all of our cards and everything is all like got to change. And it's like, I didn't even think about CAS, you know, it's like, of course, like that's an automatic payment, you know, that comes out from
right.
my old card, you know, which right. is no longer there. It's like, oh, man, but
it's frustrating.
Yeah. But fortunately, like Truist is really good about it. They, you know, obviously we didn't lose any money, like nothing got like to put through it all and mm-hmm. and they helped us start a new account and then basically put our old account on like froze our old account but didn't shut it down so that way any like direct deposits and things like that were still going into it wouldn't go into nothing right so we have that so that's like it's like a frozen account but it's able to accept money for anything that's like going in directly like my payroll, you know, cause like I didn't have enough time. I couldn't change my direct deposit in the amount of time that I would have needed to be able to have my next paycheck go into our new account. You know, it was like, had already been pushed through. So, and then, you know, so they've been good. They were good with like doing all that stuff, but it's just a little annoying, you know, it's like all these things we're just like rely on that everything is already in the system and set up and working well. And right. it's like, it's so inconvenient.
I know. And then you gotta like, yeah, cancel right away. Then you gotta send you yeah. something, and it's
And then just yesterday, I'm like, yesterday evening, I reached into the fridge to grab like a beer or something. And I was like this, or it was like, I got home from work or something and I had a beer and it wasn't very cold. I was like, and I didn't realize it until right away. Cause I'm also dealing with a cold, you know, I have a head cold. So I'm like, maybe I just didn't really think about it. And I was doing other stuff. And then I realized that like the refrigerator's not working. Like the freezer is working and the compressor's running, but like the actual fridge portion is not working. I'm like, ugh. And I'm like, okay, well, Nicole, I'm going to have to take your temporary card tomorrow so then I can go and get a new refrigerator. And I was like, ay, 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 stupid thing. Although, like, the fridge is, like, it's an old fridge. It's, like,
Is that the same one that came with the house?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's an old Frigidaire. Like, probably, I don't know, like, maybe 80s, you know, or 90s or something. Yeah. Like, it's pretty old, you know. So it's definitely it needed to be replaced anyway, and the seal isn't great on it. I could tell there was like some condensation inside sometimes and all. So but now it's just making us bite the bullet a little sooner than we would have liked. but I've been so that, and then I've been kind of like itching to start this hammer build. Not that it's going to take me a long time, it's just like on my mind, you know. So yeah, I'll have to think of a time to do it. I know you have a couple more Orioles. Is it one homestand, right? Yankees and then somebody else?
This is the last homestand.
Okay.
The 6 days, 7 days. 7 days.
Cool.
Yeah. Starts tomorrow.
Gotcha. Okay. Nice. Well, then, yeah, we'll be able to shoot after that, and there's still plenty of time to before Maker Camp. We got a couple more weeks, so. But yeah, I was, so my buddy Sean, his son, just turned 10, and he's one of the recipients of my wooden swords over the years. So like Corinne, I've made, you know, a bunch of swords for her, like as she grows older, and then Emery, I made him a sword, and, some of Corinne's friends, Catherine and David, I made them all swords and stuff. And so,
you know, your niece would love a sword.
Oh, okay.
She got the rickety sword I got her.
Oh, dang. Okay. Yeah, no. She's ready for it. Yeah. That's one of those things I'm always like kind of hesitant, you know, how old. Yeah, obviously, when I was thinking about making Emery a sword for his whatever birthday or Christmas a couple years ago, it was like, I think he was like 7, you know, and a boy, you know, with a younger brother. And so I had to ask Kate and Sean, I'm like, can I make Emery a sword? Are you guys okay with that? And they were like, yeah. I was like, okay. You know, so.
Right, they pick up crazier things, and she needs something to defend herself from the rooster.
Oh, nice!
He goes after her, so she needs a weapon.
Oh, sweet! The rooster, nice, got there and into battle.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. It's like Samurai Jack.
They do battle.
Dang, that's sweet. So yeah, so I asked him. This was shortly after his birthday, and I was like, I thought about it, and I was like, what do you think? I was like, do you want me to make you a new sword? Are you ready for a new sword? And he was like, yeah. And he's actually been kind of talking about it off and on for the last like year or so, saying like he wanted a longer sword, you know, because the one I made him was when he was younger, so it's like 18 inches, which is fine, you know, but it's a little short. So he was over here about a week and a half ago or so, and he had asked about like one of the swords, cause like he wanted to play with them. And so I was like, oh yeah, go up in the attic, and right at the bottom, top of the attic steps, you look on the left there, all the swords are there. So he went up and he and his brother, when they both went up and came back down, and he had, this dagger that I had made for Corinne. That's like a leaf blade shape, you know? So kind of like the, like sting like that. Yeah. And he was like talking about that. And then it was a couple of days after that, I asked him about a new sword, and he was like, yeah, can you make it like that dagger, like kind of that elf shape? And I was like, yeah, I can do that. So yeah, so it was fun. So this weekend, we had, like Nicole and Corinne went to, a small press convention, like, so, you know, comics and magazines and things like that, down in DC, or down like in Bethesda, I guess. Yeah. And it was Sunday afternoon they went down. So, I was home, and, I went and watched the football game at Sean's house, and then came home afterward and spent like, you know, four hours or something like making the sword. So it was cool, man. It's like been a while since I've made a wooden sword, and it's always fun. Like the more you make of one thing, the better you get each time, you know? So it's like, I made that sword, and I was using other, like some of the older swords just to compare to it. And it's just turned out really good. You know, like all the grinding was really even, and like I did a fuller, and you know, the leaf shape is really good. It was all freehand drawn, you know. I just like kind of did it off of like kind of traced some of the point from the old swords and the length, but just like eyeballed it and kept trimming it up, and then I made the guard, and it's all just like, it's just fun. And yeah, you know, I can see the progressions, like, and you know, and for me it's like a personal like joy to do it better each time, you know? So it's like, yeah, if I'm just trying to make something really quick, I'll do it a certain way. But if, you know, but the more I do it, I can do it quick and do it better. You know? So I'm like, okay, I'll take these little tips and tricks that I've learned along the way, you know, like how to cut the guards really quick and then how to like tape them back together. So that way I can, you know, sculpt it when it's not on the handle, the sword, and then, you know, how to sculpt the sword and the measurements. So it's like, so it was fun to go through the process.
You might have to do a, next year, Makerham, do a, wooden sword demo.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Just make bunch of those. All the kids have them, you know, uh-huh. You could be making them quick. Then people actually could help. You know what I mean? Then you could have, you could like, hey, we're all going to go over to the sanders for a bit. We're all going to use those. And hey, everyone, let's all go here. It'd have to be a couple hour class, or maybe you have like the bare bone things ready and fit, and they just have to shape them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like have the sword blade and then the, yeah, you know, the guard, and they just like grind it down and stuff. Right. Yeah.
Was the was it SPX, the illustrator thing in DC?
No, it was the small, small press expo, SPX. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Funny. Cause there's this, this guy he's an illustrator, but he makes books, called Ben Hatke.
Okay.
And he was there.
Oh, cool.
And he writes a couple, he made a book. I have like a series of books that he did. One's, what's it called? Everyone Hates a Goblin.
Okay.
And it's a great children's book about a goblin's, like, you know, home getting raided by heroes.
Oh, right.
And then he, like, it takes his skeleton friend and he has to go find his skeleton friend and, like, you know, basically take him back from the quote-unquote heroes. And everyone hates him. Like, he runs in to a farmer and asks for help, and he screams at him, and then he goes into the inn, and the elves hate him, and the, you know, it's like everyone hates a goblin.
But yeah, it's a perspective, you know.
Yeah, like it's one of those changes. It's a great, draws these great images, and he's got this other something house for lost creatures where it's a young girl who has like all these crazy creatures, and her house moves around, kind of like Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah, nice.
That's cool. Nice.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. And I think Nicole, I forget how she heard about it, but, you know, like, because it's like books and stuff, it's, you know, something that's always on her radar, especially with, you know, working as a librarian. But they had some classes and stuff that you could take. And so Corinne took a Dungeons and Dragons inspired character development drawing class. So she had like this prompt sheet that was like, you roll like D&D dice, and if it was like, you know, if you get a whatever, like, you know, 1 through 5, your thing is a goblin. If you get a 6 through 10, it's an elf, you know. So it was like you had to roll all these different things to create the character. Yeah. And then they drew the characters, and they had to like, and then storyboard out like a story and stuff. So she made this like really cool, like, hulking kind of, ghoul type guy, like almost like a big Frankenstein, but, with lederhosen on and something else. Like, I forget what were the things, but she's so good at drawing. It's so cool to see like how she's progressed. And even just like after going to pre-college and all the stuff she did there, and like, it's amazing. She's like got such a good eye for, just for like the shorthand stuff, you know, like the quick, like how do you make, you know, something look like it's behind something, you know, with a few little dash lines, you know, you can kind of get like depth of field, and like, she's just learning that stuff and she's doing it so easily, which is just super cool. It's cool to see like that built in, you know, that it becomes like second nature. You know, that's something that as a long, you know, like an artist, like that those things come really naturally to me. And they're things that like I've learned over the years, or I've just done enough that it's like, it's second nature. Now it's like that for her, which is so cool. I'm always like, dang, that's so cool. I'm always impressed. It's fun. But yeah, so shoot, they were down there for that. Yeah, and I was cool. Making a wooden sword.
Nice.
I did make last night I made a leather sword frog for my sword. And I'll send you a picture real quick. So a frog is the leather thing that basically holds the scabbard of a sword. And, but I just made it to like hold my wooden sword. And like I've made like just small versions, basically of just like a little leather sheath thing that you can slide the sword into that goes on your belt. So you have a way to hold it, but this is a nicer one. So it's like designed with like two belt loops and then the whole thing's at a diagonal. So that way you can kind of like, you slide the sword and it'll dangle the sword at an angle. So it's not hanging straight down at your leg.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. It was a fun one. And I'd seen a couple images of that and I thought about making it. And that's actually one that I've drawn into my book of video ideas. I thought that would be kind of fun to make, you know, as like an extension on the sword builds. Yeah. And this one, like it hangs, you know, it's like two belt loops that go down their different lengths. So that way the whole leather part that would hold the scabbard is like at a diagonal. And, the ones that I've seen use just like O-rings to attach the belt loops to the scabbard part. But I bought some O-rings at one point cause I wanted to use it specifically for that. And I couldn't find them cause you know, like everything in our house I can't find cause of the moving from one house to another. And, so I was like stressing out about it. And I was like, oh, I can do it a different way. I can just use like leather wrapping or whatever. So I just did it that way and it worked really good. It looks great.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's cool.
I'm going to the Renaissance Festival this Sunday, the PA Renaissance Festival. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to figure out a day to do that. Ben Hackley. Sorry. I was looking at this guy's Instagram.
Yeah.
But yeah, Maeve would love one. She needs a rooster.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Biter. Well, I will be happy to make one for her. An 18 incher. That's like the blade length. So you go 18 inch. Well, maybe like 11, even less than that, like, you know, 12 or 13 inches for like a little sword for little kids. But then you go an 18 inch is kind of like the first step.
Yeah.
And then you go up to 24 inches, which is like the next one, you know, that's like the 2 foot sword. And then that's what I made for Emery. And then up from that, I think Corinne's, the one that I made for her, is like 30 inches, which is kind of a good, like, you know, long sword size. But then the one that I made, which is like the full length one, is 36 inches.
So. Nice. I'll have to, I'll measure what her, right now she's got a wiffle ball bat.
that's her sword.
So if we can get it that length, you know, a light sword at that length, even pine or something.
Yeah, yeah.
She needs distance.
Okay.
To keep him at bay. Because he has got her. And we are on the edge of going like, look, don't be afraid of chickens. And also going, we're going to kill the rooster soon. Like, we're on both sides. The rooster's doing what he's supposed to do. All
right.
You know, he's territorial about his girls. And then we want him to be protective of them. That's the whole reason of having him there.
Yeah, yeah.
To keep them out of trouble. but he does. He has gone out. He has, like, hit, you know, them where there's been like a scratch on their leg or a little bit, you know, it's enough to where, and he's done it to me and Caitlin as well.
Yeah.
You just forget and you turn your back and all of a sudden you feel like a whack and you're like, oh, you know, it's more surprises you than anything.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So now I'm always, if he comes near me, I always whack him with something. I'm trying to put him in his place a little bit.
Nice. Well, how long is it before you'll dispatch him?
We haven't decided if we will or not. That's the thing.
All right. Yeah.
He's a beautiful rooster.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering if that's like, you know, what's my time frame for making the sword?
But, oh.
It's like, we're getting rid of him in a month.
She turns five on Friday. So, ooh, you know, nice. Anytime within that, you know, anytime.
Yeah, that's great. No, that's perfect. It's a birthday gift. That's great. Yeah. I think I'll have, let's see, I have time. Well, yeah, no, I'll do it. That'll be fun.
I think we'll probably keep him around. But if not, nice. She'll.
Yeah, send me that measurement, because that'll be like the full, full length measurement. You know, if it's like,
maybe
what
a
I was talking
bit,
about is like the blade would be 18 inches, and then the handle is like another six.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
a little bit longer than normal, just because she is using it to actually defend herself. So anything to keep something back or at bay, she.
Well, it's gotta like you know, it's gotta fit on her belt without hitting the ground.
Well, maybe she doesn't really, you know.
That's half the fun. Is having it on your belt,
but she needs it out. She can't sheath it.
Yeah, but well, she's doing other things. She's got to keep it on her. She can't put it down. Sure she's got to keep it on her belt. So that way, if he comes back up, she whips it out. Yeah. Defends him off, runs to the playhouse, puts it back in.
Yeah, maybe.
No. Yeah, I mean, you know, but I hear you. I'll make her a spear too.
You might have
a sword and spear.
It might have to be a back mounted thing. Nice. Get some length on it, you know.
She's like William Wallace, like,
right. She might need the long
the broadsword.
She knows she's been like, she'll scream like murder, like,
oh, when she,
because it does go after.
Yeah.
And she's like fighting for her life. It's huge. It's half the size of her, you know?
Oh, man.
It's like us. It feels like a, you know, 3-foot raptor.
And she's been using a wiffle ball bat.
Yeah, she's been trying. Great. And the one time she got trapped on her princess Jeep.
Yeah.
Because she had left it somewhere. So she was like climbing up. She was like screaming, like, help, help. I was like, I'm coming. I'm just like walking over. But he was like leaping at her. I was like, dang.
What's
he going for? I was like, you gotta like kick it, fight it, like don't let it. I'm constantly giving her pep talks, you know, like don't let those stupid chicks come on, let's go.
Yeah, she gets nervous. Now she has a sweet sword, like, shing, going into battle.
That's right. She's something. Hit it hard. I don't care.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. What's it gonna do?
If it's trying to hurt you, then you know you can defend yourself.
Yeah.
If you crack it so hard that something happens to it, then we'll dispatch it.
Yeah,
shouldn't have gone after you.
Yeah, no, exactly. Learned a lesson.
Right.
Now we're going to eat all your ladies, too.
Yeah, they're pumping out some good eggs.
Nice. That's awesome.
We've been full of eggs.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, you know, having a rooster around, like, obviously, I guess eventually the eggs would incubate, right? Because, like, they're
there. Yeah, but we don't let them, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What do you call it? He will fertilize it, I guess, but there's no, you can't really tell.
Yeah.
There might be like a spot that looks like a piece of dirt or something. You know, it's like the.
Right.
But it's only a day old. We grab the eggs every day, so there's really nothing to see. Unless they were to sit on it.
Right.
But we don't let them. You know, we.
Yeah.
Take them every day, and then they move on about their business.
One right now
is a little broody. Like, they will just. They will sit on something, or they will just stay there
and
not move. And you kind of have to, like, break them out of it.
Push them.
They get they want to hatch an egg.
So
they become kind of stuck there, and they won't eat or drink.
Oh, right.
They'll basically kill themselves in desperation of something that isn't there.
Right. So you got to, like, push them out, like...
Yeah, you just there. Yep. Or you can separate them from everyone else for a while, put them by themselves, and not have anything around.
Right,
and they kind of break the spell. Or you know, I just pull them out every day, and they'll just sit there. So I toss them, and then they fly.
Nice.
And then that snaps them out of it.
That's great.
If I just pull them out nicely, set them down, they stay broody. They stay you know, they don't want to move. So I just toss them in the air and they fly, and then they're like, oh, they like wake up. And then they go find their buddies.
That's great. That's hilarious. Do you have them? You still have them like free ranging sometimes, like during the day when you guys are there?
Yeah, every day. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I let them out.
That's great.
So they, you know, they got a good life. They just cruise around there and they'll shit all over the porch. That's annoying.
Oh, geez.
I've been kicking them off the porch a lot.
That's funny, they come all the way up to the porch.
Yeah, they do. They wander. They do a full circle around the house.
Dang.
I see them in the front yard just walking. I'm like, hey, go back.
Get back in the backyard. Hit by a car.
There was one time, one last thing before we go, there was Maeve will drive her, you know, Jeep around the yard, and I'll tell her to get things for me. missions. Like, hey, I need a pine cone, or I need this from the field, or I want like a nice stick.
Uh-huh.
And she'll just cruise with her brother, and like they'll just cruise. And he like stays in the car. He like gets out and does stuff. And I think I have a video of it. It's kind of funny. They cruise over. I'm like, hey, go get a piece of corn out of the field, you know?
Yeah.
And she drives out there, and she hops off her Jeep, and she goes, you know, there's the, for those who don't know, obviously, there's a, like, a 20-foot, or maybe less 10 or 20-yard gap of woods in between our yard and the field.
Right.
I'd say, like, 10 yards. It's not much.
Yeah.
But in that time, the chickens had migrated, along with Bingo the rooster, to cut off from her, you know, cut off. I could see her silhouette in the little opening, and the chickens had moved between her and the Jeep. I was like, oh, here we go. And I could see her swinging her thing. She had it. Nice. She was like swinging her way through, and she hopped on the Jeep and cruised away.
Nice. That's awesome.
I was like, oh, here we go. Because I could see him, like, you know, cutting her off from her vehicle.
Dang. Yeah. It's like Jurassic Park.
It was. Like, I was like, oh, no.
Get back to the vehicle.
Hurry up. Your escape is blocked by...
by raptors.
Bingo and the bitches. And the females are actually very... They haven't done it. They're very nice.
They're
good chickens. They'll come up and, you know, because we give them treats and stuff, so they'll come right up to you and hang out with you, follow you around.
That's great. Oh, it's fun. I love it that, like, it's like this, like, battleground in the backyard for Maeve. And it's like, she's like the best for it too, because, like, I don't know, she's just so, like, spunky and, like, loves to, like, she loves action, you know. She's always been like this little, like, full of energy, like jumping around and stuff. So
she's a and Grant has no fear of him.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But I don't think he's really hit him that bad, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But he'll just go and be walking around. Maybe he's like, Grant, come on. She's like trying to save him. He's just walking right up to him and like trying to touch him and hold him, you know.
Get out of there. She's like, you ever watch Craig of the Creek, that cartoon?
No.
It's an awesome cartoon. Actually, here you go. This is my recommendation. I'll give the recommendations. So, as an adult, right, I don't watch cartoons much anymore. Yeah. Even like, you know, like obviously I still like Disney movies. Like, they're great. You know, the new Disney movies are really good and stuff. But almost all the time, like, unless it's like a new Miyazaki movie, you know, whatever, I like those. But like, I almost always will, you know, 100% of the time prefer live action over an animated thing, even if it's a new animated thing.
Yeah.
And obviously new cartoons and stuff. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But there are a couple exceptions. One is Bluey, right? I don't watch it much, but when I do, I'm like, oh, so good. You know, like, what a good show.
It's quality.
But the other one is Craig of the Creek. And so Craig of the Creek is, it follows the story of this like boy and his friends who, and all of like kids their age, you know, this is like between, let's say, 7 and like 15, and all the kids who play behind their houses at the creek. You know, it's like the woods and it's a creek, and it's like the kids zone. So it's like the Lord of the Flies back there. And you got all these little groups, you know, you've got like he and his group, they like have this fort under a fallen down tree. You know, it's like, so they're like the kids that live in the fort, in the tree fort. And then there's like the kids store, and there's like the shopkeeper, and she like does all the trading and stuff. It's like the trading post.
Yeah.
And then there's the horse girls, and they all play in the pasture and they pretend they're horses. You know, and there's like, and there's the D&D kids, and then there's like the scout boys, and then there's the, you know, it's like all these little cliques, and it's like so true to how
you know,
I remember.
You know what it's like?
What?
Recess.
Yeah. 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 It is. It's like Recess. Right. Exactly. Yeah. But it's like, it's so fun and it's like so funny, and I can just like, it's nostalgic. It takes me back to my kid, you know, being a kid. I'm like, man, I remember those cliques of kids, you know, it's like each time, you know, Then there's like this one chick they called Wildernessa, and she like she's always like wild in the woods. And there's like the one mythic boy who lives in the in like the poison ivy patch, and he never gets poison ivy and stuff. There's like these like kids who live underground in like they play in the sewers, and they're like they all web feet and stuff. And there's like this whole other group, like a mirroring group that lives or that plays on the other side of the creek. And then they go over, and it's kind of like Animal Farm or you know like Watership. Yeah. Down where it's there they're all rigid and like the Nazis and stuff. It's so funny, man. It's such a good show. But
that is, is very recessy.
Yeah, but there's this one character, one of the main characters. So the main character is the boy Craig, and then he's got these two friends. One is like a little bit older kid. He's probably like 12 or 13, and he's a little slow, but he's like tall, and he always wears like a hockey jersey, and he's like kind of like the big doopy guy, you know, kind of like Patrick Starr, you know, whatever, from SpongeBob. And then there's their friend, the girl, and she has like this little parrot that always lives on her shoulder, and she's a warrior, and she carries around a PVC sword. So she always has the sword that's a PVC pipe, and she's always like, there'll be these like shots where she's like thinking about it in her head, and she's like, then she goes into the forest and she defeats da da da. You know, and it's like this like epic like or you know, cinematic dramatic scene of her doing stuff. And but she reminds me of Maeve, like this little like warrior girl. Like I thought about that a couple times. I'm like, that's a little Maeve right there. She's like super tough, fighting off the bad kids and stuff with her little sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was showing Maeve a Recess, and I was the same thing. I remember why I loved it was the. It's like cultural references.
Yeah, yep.
Like the kindergartners were the Lord of the Flies kids, remember?
Yep.
In the show.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
They were like, you know, rabid and like, you know, native. And then there was the Ashleys, which is a very...
The Ashleys,
they were the popular girls. Like, that's right. They were all named Ashley.
Uh-huh.
Which is so funny. And then there were, you know, all that stuff. And the Recess King and the... The mole kids who dug, who just dug holes.
Right. Yeah. Remember them? Yep. That's funny. It is. Yeah. It's really similar.
Very,
But it's like, instead of it being at school, it's like, you know, it's after school. It's like the kids who play at the creek, you know? It's really good. It was a couple of years ago, and one of my students was like referenced it at school, and I was like, Craig of the Creek. And I like, so I went, I thought about it because they were like, oh, yeah, it's really funny. You should watch. And so, I asked Corinne about it. And I was like, do you know Craig of the Creek? She's like, oh, I love Craig of the Creek. It's one of the best shows. This was like, you know, like 7 years ago or something, 6-7 years ago. And so I watched with her. I was like, man, this show is awesome. Like it is. Nice. It's really like fun and nostalgic.
Very cool. Good stuff. And I'll do, while we're at it, Ben Hat Keith, he's good kids books.
Right.
Maeve really likes them.
Nice.
So, Hey Ben Hatke, HeyBenHatke, really good illustrator, and I think he lives nearby. Like,
say it one more time, Ben.
Hey Ben Hatke, so HeyBenHatke.
Hatke, Hey Ben Hatke. Cool. Yeah. Do you like follow him on Instagram or something? Is that how you knew he was going to be there? Nice. Yeah. You were like the small SPX.
I saw that he was at a local thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually thought, I was like, wouldn't it be great if I could go and get like an original piece of art from him for May for her birthday? But I just, you know, it was when I was in Texas, so I couldn't do
it. Yeah, one of our friends, when I was at school at Micah, one of the guys who's maybe a year or two older than I was, but his name is... Mike Bracco, he wrote comics and like wrote and illustrated comics, and then he would sell them out of the art supply store where I worked. You know, he'd like print a bunch up, like just kind of like copy them and print them, and they'd be nice colors and stuff. And he'd bring in, you know, 10 copies or something, and we'd sell them for what, $8 or something, you know, from the store on consignment. But, I've stayed in kind of in touch with him over the years because he's still in and around Maryland, and you know we're friends on social media and we see him at events and stuff. But he was there as well, and he was his kind of I don't know, like his company name is Spaghetti Kiss. And so he does a bunch of different comic characters and stuff, but he's always at different events. And so he was down there and Corinne Nicole saw him and Corinne got a shirt from him. So pretty cool. T-shirt. Yeah. But cool, man. All right. Well, there you go, everybody. Good to be back. I'm glad you're back from Texas. We'll try to get back in the shop and make some stuff. I'll work on this hammer for the maker swap. And you guys are all waiting to see. If you want to see it, you got to come to Maker Camp, or maybe wait till after Maker Camp. I'll get pictures of it so that way I can post it. But I don't want to spoil the surprise until we get there. So, all right. You guys can see those things on Instagram. You can follow me at The Art of Craftsmanship and Devin at The Art of Camera Guy. I was telling our brother Drew that he was like, why was Devin in Texas? And I was telling him a little about it. And he was like, okay, cool. He was like, I guess he is the camera guy, right? He's the art of the camera guy. He's like, if he's doing camera for other guys or doing camera for you. I was like, yeah, that's what he does. Yeah, you can check Devin out at Art of the Camera Guy and Art of the Camera Guy. And then you can head over to YouTube and check out what we're doing there. You can check out the videos and let us know what you think. Comment and like and subscribe and all that good stuff. We just hit 170,000 subscribers. That's pretty cool. So next hurdle will be 200,000. And yeah, and then if you want to support what we do here on the channel and on YouTube, you can go over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship. It's funny, I always like forward slash. That's the main thing. It's not a backslash, it's a forward slash. And you can support us there. But yeah. All right. Devin, always a pleasure, man.
Yeah, brother.
Everybody else, thanks for hanging out with us and listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.